Blessings, everybody. This is Dale. Thank you so much for joining with me today on the Word Podcast. We're pressing on in the life of David, and we're in the 28th chapter of 1 Samuel, a very, very, very interesting chapter. As a matter of fact, I've been covering a portion of this with a group of high schoolers in recent weeks. And I'm just going to tell you why I did it, and I continue to do it with some cross-references, some other things. But it's not so much a pet peeve, it's an observation that I'm making, and it's an observation of the decades. And it's along this line, and that even in what we call Christian education, even within curriculum that we call Christian curriculum, there is a huge influence of witchcraft, of magic, of sorcery, of things like that. And we seem to think that this is okay and it's fine. And it's sort of frustrating sometimes because you'll sit there and you have a great curriculum, but then all of a sudden they'll say, well, here are the books that you're required to read because these are award-winning books. Well, they are award-winning books. Who's given the awards and for what purpose? And then people will say, oh, well, the person who wrote this thing, you know, he's a Christian. And so this is just a fiction. It's just a fictionalized account of Jesus. Really, do you need a fictionalized account of Jesus? Why don't we just go to the account of Jesus, okay? And then they say, well, but, you know, he's a Christian. Well, yes. What does it take to be a Christian? If you believe that Jesus is Messiah, you've repented and called upon his name to be saved, yes, you're a believer. But in this one particular case that I'm thinking of, he's very non-orthodox. In other words, a lot of his beliefs don't align with what the Scripture says. So anyway, I thought, well, let's go to some Scripture passages that deal exactly with that. And you're thinking, what in the world is this all about? And David's life. Well, we're going to see, probably not in this episode, but the next episode. But chapter 28 sets it up at the very beginning. So listen to this. Verse 1 says, now it came about in those days that the Philistines gathered their armed camps for war to fight against Israel. Now, it came about in what day? This is me speaking now. Yeah, the previous chapter, when David had gone and was hiding with the Philistines, and Achish gave him somewhere that he could live there, and Achish said, no, you're going to be a part of me. You know, you're going to be with me. And Achish really thought that David had flipped sides. He'd convinced himself of that. So now these same Philistines are going to go to war against Israel. Verse 1 continues here. And Achish said to David, know assuredly that you will go out with me in the camp, you and your men. So Achish wanted David and his 600 warring men to go to battle against Israel with him. And Achish says, you're going to do this. Well, verse 2, David said to Achish, very well. You shall know what your servant can do. So Achish said to David, very well, I will make you my bodyguard for life. And so, you know, what's going on here? We've got a couple of things that it may be, and, you know, there's debate over it, and we're just not really, really sure. Did Achish really believe this? Did he really believe that he'd flip David? Or is it the kind of thing that you keep your enemy close to you? You know, or someone you're not quite sure about. But the fact that he said, I'm going to make you my bodyguard for life, I think it goes more to what David was just saying. You're going to know what I can do. And Achish is saying, I already know what you can do. I know what you can do as a mighty warrior. As a matter of fact, I'm going to make you the one that's in charge of my body, in charge of my existence for life, which is great and is cool. Depends on how long you live, right? Now watch this. Verse 3. Now Samuel was dead. And all Israel had lamented him and buried him in Ramah, his own city. And Saul had removed from the land those who were mediums and spiritists. What? Yet Samuel dies because he was old. Okay, Samuel dies. All of Israel lamented him and they buried him in Ramah. And then the very next sentence in the same verse, and Saul. Starts off with and, so it's sort of tying this into that Samuel's dead. Saul removed from the land those who were mediums and spiritists. Yes, the mediums and spiritists need to be removed from the land. You don't put up with that kind of stuff, okay? But why now? Is it because Samuel was dead and Saul thinks, okay, I need to do this. I should have done this. Well, perhaps. But this gets to be really interesting in just a moment. Verse 4. So the Philistines gathered together and came and camped in Shunem. And Saul gathered all Israel together, and they camped in Gilboa. Verse 5. When Saul saw the camp of the Philistines, he was afraid, and his heart trembled greatly. So why was Saul afraid? Why did his heart tremble greatly? Well, he saw the camp of the Philistines. Well, he'd had encounters, many, many encounters with the Philistines. Why this time is he afraid? Why at this moment when he saw this camp? Was it because of superior numbers or something like that? Well, we're not told that, and we're not really told why he was afraid. But if we look at the situation that we've already seen, the things that we have been told, maybe we can glean some things. First of all, Samuel was dead. Yes, Samuel was dead. When Saul had gone out before in battle and things like that, Samuel would give a blessing to it and that kind of stuff, but he's dead now. He doesn't have him. But who is there with the Philistines now? What do we just see in the first verse up here? Yeah, David is with the Philistines now. David and his men are with the Philistines. Did Saul know that David was with the Philistines? Yeah, we saw in the previous chapter. Remember, David said, I'm just so tired of this stuff. I'm just tired of this. I'm just going to go to the Philistines. If I do that, Saul will not pursue me there. Saul hears that he's with Achish, the Philistine, and it says, and Saul quit pursuing him. Saul knew he was there. More than likely, he saw David and his men in that camp. So now he's got both of his arch nemesis joining forces together. And he is terrified. He is trembling greatly. So what does he do? Well, yeah, he does a wise thing. Though this gets even sadder. Verse 6. He's afraid. He's greatly trembling. Saul inquires of the Lord. He asks the Lord about this. He goes before the Lord to seek the Lord. Verse 6. When Saul inquired of the Lord, so what does that tell you? That he inquired of the Lord. He went before the Lord. When Saul inquired of the Lord did not answer him, either by dreams or by the Urim or by prophets. The Lord did not answer him. And the Lord didn't answer him in any of the three ways that you see in the Old Testament, like a dream. You see a lot of dreams and visions. He didn't answer him by dreams. He didn't answer him by a prophet. God didn't send a man of God. He didn't send a prophet to speak into Saul's life like Samuel. He didn't answer by the Urim, which is literally a mechanical device that the high priest would wear, and the stones in it would light up in some kind of order to communicate the answer from God. Yeah, the Urim and the Thummim are very, very interesting. We think we have some understanding of what they were, and we know what they did, but we don't know exactly how they function. But the important thing is that the Lord did not answer him. You want to be really, truly fearful? You want to really tremble greatly? Then inquire the Lord and have the Lord to be totally, absolutely silent and non-responsive to you. So what do you think Saul does? Well, we'll have to look at this next episode. But this is where the witchcraft comes in. Well, again, I'm Dale. We'll check it out next time. I'll see y'all then. Goodbye.